thing I'm going to share with you just kind of from my heart and from a passage. This week I was just kind of asking, because it's not a normal sermon and prepared in that sense, but I'm asking God, Lord, what do our people need to hear? We gather every week, and the summer's kind of here, and I'm not in a series per se, and it's like, God, what do you want us to hear? And kind of one phrase has kind of come out because I was asking myself, kind of while I was in Haiti, this question, why do I do what I do? Why do I do what I do? Why in the world go to Haiti? Why do a VBS there? Why do we do what we do? So this morning I want to share with you a passage and kind of just give you two thoughts of why we should do or why we do what we do. And I want to take it from 1 Peter. It's going to be chapter 4. But to set it up, let me just real brief set it up. Remember Peter? What was Peter's occupation? Talk to me this morning. If it doesn't get recorded perfectly, we'll figure it out later. Maybe somebody will call. But what was he? He was a fisherman. I love Jesus. Jesus is the master of storytelling and also metaphors. In fact, he tells Peter when he meets him, he says, come and follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. What an incredible thought. Peter's like, this sounds great. I can fish. I must be able to catch men. I don't know what he thought, but he began to follow Jesus. And for 3 years, he followed him and had some good moments, some bad moments. And toward the end, though, he had a couple of bad moments. In fact, Jesus is arrested in the garden, and 3 times Peter's asked, weren't you with him? Didn't you know him? And emphatically, Peter denies 3 times that he even knew Jesus. I can't imagine how Peter must have felt. He's like, man, I've been with him 3 years. Why did I do that? You can imagine the past, too. It's like, you know how things affect you because of how you grow up and how you are, and you kind of revert back, and Peter was struggling. I love the story, though, when, of course, Jesus comes out of the grave, and Peter's one of the guys that runs to the tomb and looks in to see he was gone. But Jesus said, I'm going to meet you guys, and says it specifically, says Peter's name, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. Anyway, after that, Jesus, before he ascends, has a conversation with Peter. Anybody remember that conversation? Jesus asked Peter, what? Do you love me? Just your real quick Greek lesson this morning. There's 2 different words in that passage. Unfortunately, we have 1 word called love, and we translate it for a lot of things. Like, I love hot dogs, and I love my wife. Pretty equal. It's not equal at all. And that's our language struggle is because we have different meanings behind it. Greek does a little bit better job. They use a word called agape. We usually consider that God love. It's really not God love. I hate to blow your mind, but it was a Greek word. It wasn't God love. It was a Greek word, but explaining unconditional love, that I'm willing to pour myself out with nothing back. And that's kind of what that was. It was outside of, because Greek has 4 words for love. Another word is phileo. You're familiar with that. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Phileo meant friendship love. And we have a lot of friendship love in here. And then there's another word for family. If you're family, it was storge. That's the word that I storge my kids. But my wife is the word eros. And we get our word erotic, and that's the relationship love. And so they had a little better understanding of that, and we don't get it. But Jesus says to Peter, do you agape? That's the word he uses. But Peter responds with a different word and says, I phileo you. I love you like a friend. Remember Jesus asked a second time? And there's more in the story, but I'm trying to get to my scripture so you'll understand. But he asked him again, do you agape? And the second time, Peter responds, I phileo. The third time, you remember he asked third time, Jesus changed his word. Jesus used phileo the third time. And Peter responds, Lord, you know I love you like a friend. And of course, Peter's countenance went down. If you read the Bible, it's like he was a little disheartened that Jesus asked him, not 3 times, but I think that Jesus changed the word the third time. Because Peter was having a hard time coming up to that level. I think in our lives we have a hard time coming up to the level of why do we do what we do? Because I don't think we always understand it. But I love this. Peter's the first one, though, when filled with the Holy Spirit, preaches on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people come to the Lord. Isn't that great? But then Peter says, no, it's just for the Jews. And Paul comes along and says, no, it's for everybody. And they have to have a church meeting over it to figure it out and find out, yeah, it's for everybody. It's a struggle we go through. And Peter was trying to find this out in his life, in his whole life. And Peter writes this little book to us, and I believe somewhere in the depths of his heart, in these few verses we're going to read this morning, Peter, I think, is trying to get a point to us. In all the ups and downs of life, you need to know why you do what you do. Why you do it? Because we need to continue to ask. Let me read verse 7. Here's what it starts with. And this is my very first point. The end of all things is near. That's why we do what we do as a church. If we ever lose the imminent return of Jesus Christ, Peter wrote this not quite 2,000 years ago, but he lived with an imminent return of Jesus, that you only have a few hours, you only have a few moments. When we're in Haiti and we're looking at children, many of them don't have a full lifetime. We went to some of the orphanages and other places. And I know in my previous trip, when I'm seeing kids with tumors out of their bellies and all of these things, I can't guarantee they're going to have much time. I need to understand that the end of all things is near. I need to know that your life is just a wisp. I hate to tell you, but the Bible says you're not guaranteed tomorrow. In church, we have to live with this imminency in our own life that, God, I'm ready to live for you today, this moment, and then I'll deal with the next moment. Because I know you're coming, and I also know that life is short. And I think we need to know that. That's one of the reasons we do what we do. And that's why we went to Haiti, to share this good news, to be a part of what God's doing there. That's why you came to church, I hope, today. To pour your life out, who knows, you may have hugged a neck today that somebody needed a hug. They may get it nowhere else in our society today. So he tells us this, the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded. We need to make sure we know why we're doing what we do, and self-control so that we can do what, church? So we can talk to God. I love the secret moments. I love corporate moments of prayer. But church, as Paul puts it, you need to pray without ceasing. I'm telling you, you need to live in an attitude of prayer. God, when I take this next step, pray, Lord, don't help me not trip. Lord, help me be able to get to my car. Lord, help me have words to say. Lord, help me find good deals. Lord, help me, right? Everything I do, a prayerful attitude of our lives, so I'm clear-minded because, God, I'm ready to be used at any moment because the end of all things is near. Now, in the next verses, I believe Paul gives us a method of how to walk this out, and here he goes. Verse 8, above all, love each other deeply. Church, this is a very loving church. And I've been in a few different churches, and I want to say they're all loving, but I have found they're all not loving. Unfortunately, sometimes when we love too much, we get a little bit cliquish. And it's not on purpose. We didn't plan, but sometimes you get a little too tight. Church, I'm asking you, though, when newcomers come and new people, we have a couple of visitors here with us this morning, maybe some others. Anybody visiting with us? Because help me out just a moment. Yeah, there's a couple here back there. Good. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Good to have you. Amen. So I'm not speaking this for your benefit this morning, for our church so we can hear, but when we have people come in, church, we need to love deeply. People are coming in needing to be loved. They're trying to find. In fact, the word that came earlier, that people are searching for love in places and they're not finding it. They find it in Christ. But guess what? You are in Christ. They will find it. And Peter is telling us we need to love deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Church, why don't we, I tell you what, everybody take a piece of paper real quick and write all the sins you've ever done. I know some of you are going to need a toilet paper roll, a package, I mean. We would need, I mean, many of us would need scrolls to be able to do that. And then what I would say, after we've written them all down, pass it to your neighbor and see how deeply they'll love you. See, I don't need to know everything you did. I just need to love deeply on the first part. I don't need to. I think sometimes somebody will get up here, I murdered somebody and God saved me and I got out of prison and boy, I'm serving God now. We would all be like, yeah, praise God. Problem is we don't know some of the other things in his life that we will, well, I don't know about that. And yet sometimes when we get closer as a family, you get a little nitpicky. I'm telling you, love deeply. Because if we're going to know the end is near for your life, for their life, for whoever's life, your life, love deeply. Because it covers a multitude. Next verse. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. When you serve today and you go get somebody a glass of water, they say, could you get me a glass of water? Well, they can get their old glass of water. They got 2 feet and they got hands. It's just right there. We complain so quickly. We criticize and we're so quick to even be sarcastic. And we go, well, I don't mean it. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Church, can we learn to be hospitable like never before? One of the things I said when I came back from Haiti last October is I'm just not ever going to complain again. And I have worked hard at that. And after I went this time, it just confirmed it. I am so thankful. Oh, man, we got air conditioned. I am so thankful. Church, I'm thankful. I'm having to learn. And so I need to quit grumbling. Just be hospitable. Learn to live that way. Why? The end is near, church. Verse 10. Each one of us should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. I don't know what your gift is. I do care what your gift is, though. Because I want you to be able to faithfully administer that gift in this place. And I love this because we faithfully administer God's grace in various forms. You know what? Some people need a lot more grace than others. And we administer that grace in its various forms. In church, we do it because the end is near. So we need to do it faithfully. We need to stay at it. Amen? Verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Church, I always struggle with messages sometimes because I'm like, God, first of all, I don't want to sound stupid because I'm from the South and some of the words I use and my kids pick on me enough. And I'm sure you've had a few laughs at dinner table over a pastor. I want you to know I can handle it. Just don't tell me about it. I want to be careful when I'm administering God's word, as though I'm speaking the very words of God. It's awesome. But church, you're no different than me. You're the church too. The words you speak today, will they be like the very words of God? If anyone serves, he should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. Here's point two, and I'm going to close. So that in all things, point two, God may be praised. Why do I do what I do? The end is near. And God gets all the glory. Not me. So that God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And to Him, be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I want to close with a song. Most of you might have heard it somewhere in the back of eons of time by Andre Crouch. How many remember Andre Crouch? I can't sing like him. I can't play like him. I don't look like him. Oh, can I tell you one more Haiti thing? I walk off a bus, and this kid looks at me, points at me. He goes, blah. I'm thinking, blah, blah, blah. Blah means white in Creole. So blah, blah, blah. We need to get some more words in our church. Amen. Tamarice, I'm glad you're here. I believe God's got this glorious church, and it's more than blah. So two things. Why do we do what we do? The end is near. Church, I'm not trying to say life's, world's going to blow up or anything. Just life's short. People need to hear good news. Church, I like good news and I like good deeds. But I'm going to let you know where I stand. I think good deeds are great. But if I'm going to lean anywhere, I lean on good news. Good deeds last temporal. Good news lasts eternity. I'll do good deeds so I can share the good news. That's what's going to happen at Royal Family Kids Camp. They're going to do some good deeds, but so they can share the good news with these foster kids. It's going to be powerful. This week, church, I'm going to be away next Sunday, and that's why Royal Family Kids Camp is going to come. In fact, I leave about 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon to go to Canada, and I'm helping at a family camp. We got 14 services ahead. But there's some people that need to hear some good news, need to fall in love with Jesus more and more. Life's coming to an end for you and for your friends. All things are coming, are nearing the end. We need to be diligent. Number two, give God the glory. If all the things happen and you get any praise, just let it go to Calvary. And let God, thanks. So church, I encourage you, love deeply. Be hospitable. Serve. And let God work through you and change the world around you. God's looking for us. And I want us to be the church. Because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Heavenly Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for these individuals that we come week after week. And Lord, it's open for more to come and to grow. God, do what you can do. But Lord, I pray you give us avenues and help us understand why we do what we do. Well, time's running out because you deserve the glory for all you've done. So Lord, use us this week. Give us a spirit-filled week. In Jesus' name, amen.